Well, good morning. I trust that you are still all well. Is it okay today if you're blessed?
Yes.
Challenged?
Yes.
Stretched?
Yes.
Encouraged?
Yes.
Good. That's what we're here for. I like to have the video going because anyone who watches this online will see that we use scripture. They'll see that there is God's word on the board there. Now, last week, I said, are you one of them?
Yeah.
Exactly. See, someone's been listening. They are one of them. I'm one of them. I hope that you're one of them. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to go on to www.gracecommunitychurch.gccdm. Have a look, have a listen, just to see if you are. Well, today, I want to bring a repeat of a message I brought a while ago. Well, I say a repeat. It's not a repeat. Basically, it's the same scripture, but I said that I'd speak on it kind of verses by verse rather than just using the whole thing in the context that I wanted to last time. And it's this one here in Luke 17, starting at verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, so his disciples are followers of Christ, the disciplined ones of the Lord, that's us, yeah? He said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. But woe to anyone through whom they come. Stumble. When we look at the word stumble there, it's a deliberate obstacle that's been put in the way of someone else. And I did bring some illustrations of my childhood, of some of the things I used to do. There again, you'll have to listen back. But to stumble, to cause someone to stumble, it's when it's willful. When someone puts something in the way of someone else so they fall. And Jesus goes on to say, it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Now when we look at little ones, it can refer to children, but it refers also to the young in faith. Those that are new believers, those that are maturing, those that are on milk and not on meat. We are not to cause one another to stumble. So I started to think, there are things that cause us as Christians to stumble, aren't there? There are things that cause us to fall at times. Or maybe not to fall, but to totter. We are like, if you're old enough, weebles. We wobble, but we don't fall down. But if we do, God brings us back, doesn't he? He puts us back on our feet. So I want to bring one or two scriptures and just ask you to see if you identify with any of these things that cause us to stumble. They may cause me to stumble, you to stumble, but certainly they cause God's church to stumble. So let's have a look at one or two of them. In Matthew 5, I'm already smiling at this one, Matthew 5:29. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. Throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. This is drastic, isn't it? Now, please read scripture carefully. God is not asking you to gouge your eye out or to cut your hand off. But what he is saying is this, there are things that cause us to stumble. He goes on to talk about if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he's committed adultery in his heart already. It's about cutting things off in our lives. There's something that we do, we've always done, and we get what we've always got, cut it off. If it's causing us distress, cut it off. If it's causing us to sin, close our eyes. You know, I remember speaking as a young Christian, I was speaking to a mature Christian, and he said to me, he said, Andrew, do you struggle with the female form? I went, yes. He said, how do you deal with it? I said, well, I take my counsel from Lot's wife. And he said, so what do you mean? I said, I just don't look back. You know, I see God's creation in front of me and I just don't look back. I cut it off. So there are times where we see what's in front of us. It doesn't cause us to stumble as long as we cut it off. So if there are things in our life that we are watching, if there are things in our lives that we are participating in, are going through our hands, then simply let's not be those that stumble. Let's cut it off. That's a good word for the beginning of a new year, isn't it? It's a challenge for us. Let's just cut it off. There was something that a really good friend of mine, and some of you will know him, Alan Molyneux, and he brought this illustration to us, and I've said this before, and he said there was a philosopher and a psychologist and an intellectual man, and he advertised that he could put anyone's wrongs right within 1 minute and only charge them $2. So we had this lady come to him, and she said, well, I'm afraid of the lift. And he went, stop it. $2, please. Another man comes up, he says, my eyes wander. And he went, stop it. $2, please. And it's a simple message, isn't it? Cut it off. Stop it. Stop doing those things. So this is an encouraging word so that we can be challenged afresh to be who God wants us to be. Because the Bible says the truth will set us free, yes? So if we know the truth will set us free. So as we dig into God's word, there are people, by the way, as we look back in history, that did gouge their eyes out and did cut their limbs off because they were so fearful of God's judgment, they thought, well, I'll hop into heaven. At least I'll get there. Well, that's not what God is saying, unless you know different. In John 11, verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daylight will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. And Jesus here is talking about, he is the light in the darkness. As long as we walk in the light of the love of the Lord, as long as the light of the Lord is in us, we won't stumble. And he's using something that we can see in everyday life. That we know that when it's daylight, we can see where we're walking. When it's nighttime, we're liable to stumble because we can't see the potholes. I remember saying to you as a church some time ago, when I was a child, I used to be afraid of the dark. And there's times I had to walk from A to B and I had no choice. And I'd have to go through the darkness. And one time I was walking beside the cemetery and I was petrified. And I used to talk to myself so that if there was anyone there, they'd think there's two of me and they wouldn't attack. I know. Well, now I know there is the Lord, the light of the love of the Lord in me. So even though there's times where I feel fearful, I'm sure you do, if we walk in the light, we won't stumble. And there's a challenge for us and also an encouragement for us, isn't there? That as long as it's daylight, as long as there's light, we won't stumble. And then for us as Christians, if we take that word that the Lord is our light, he's a lamp unto our feet. Is that what it says? It's what scripture says. If he's a lamp unto our feet, then even if it's dark, it's light. Does that make sense? You know, where there is light, there can be no darkness. If you take the darkest place and you shine a light, it's not dark anymore. And that's what Jesus is saying here. So if we don't want to stumble, let's make sure we walk in the light. Let's make sure. One of the things I've found to be true for me, and I hope you'll grab this, and I hope it will help you. There are times where we hide things up from other people because we don't want to reveal whatever it is. There are times where someone will say something to us or do something to malign us. There are certain things that the enemy will try and catch us on. Well, one of the things I've found in my life is this. Once I share that with someone else, it loses its power. The enemy no longer has a grip over me. So if there's something in my life that I'm struggling with, and I go to a brother and I say, listen, I want to share this with you. I want to be accountable. I'd like you to pray with me. Then the moment I do that, the moment I bring it into the light, it loses its power and the enemy has no more hold over me. So if there's something in your life that has kept you bound in a certain area, it could be anything. I'm not even going to label them because for you it's important. But you know that it's causing you to stumble. Then bring it to the light and allow that power to go and give the power ultimately to the Holy Spirit. So as we continue to look through God's word, in Romans 9 verse 30 it says this: what then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But, in verse 31, but the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal. In other words, he's saying, hang on, we're God's people, and you're saying that we, the ones that have tried to keep the law, we haven't obtained righteousness, but those that have received righteousness by faith have. They've attained their goal. But the people of Israel who pursued, I'll read this again because it leads into the next portion of scripture, pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained the law. Why not? Glad you asked. That's just wanted to get that in. Glad you asked, because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble. So what's that stone? Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ becomes a stumbling stone. He becomes a stumbling stone for the unrighteous and the righteous. Because we're challenged on a regular basis. Did Jesus really say? Did he really say, I can't do that? But surely he won't mind if I just do it a little. I'm not as bad as that other person. Surely, did God really say, well, Jesus is a stumbling stone. Even now, he's a stumbling stone to the religious, isn't he? They just can't get over the fact that it's by grace, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Yeah, but surely if I do these good works, God will love me more. No. He'll love you no less if you do or you don't, by faith in what Jesus Christ has already accomplished. So the reason I say this to the church is that there are times I suggest that you become your own worst enemy because you think that God is disappointed in you because you've done this and you've done that. But you're one of his children. The Bible says if you repent, God forgives, yes? So don't let religion be a stumbling stone. Don't let it be that because I haven't done my ritual this morning. You know, for me, I pray certain prayers on a regular basis. It's not because it's ritualistic. It's because I cover myself and my family in the blood of Jesus. There's a revelation for me in the name of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. I apply it, Father God, over the doorpost of my home. Why? Because when I read your scripture, you instructed your people to take the hyssop, dip it in the blood and apply it over the doorpost of their homes, and the avenging angel passed over. Well, spiritually for me, and I'm not suggesting you do this, I do the same thing. Lord, I take your blood and I apply it over the doorposts of my home, my heart, my loved ones. But it's not a ritual. But it can be that if I forget to pray that prayer one morning, the enemy comes in and starts to steal and rob and say, oh, today is the day that you're going to stumble. Well, God's word is truth. We receive our salvation by faith. Let's not allow religion to cause us to stumble. You may not be there. I may be speaking to someone, one individual online who is struggling with this. But I think it's important if we're going to look at what Jesus said. Things that cause people to stumble will come. They will come. Not they might come, or if they come, they will come. But be careful. Don't be one of the people that causes someone else to stumble, is what Jesus is saying there. So I want us to check ourselves and to check others and not get tied up and not stumble over the stumbling stone, which is Jesus Christ. Because it's so easy for us to look through scripture and then feel condemned because we don't measure up. Well, that's why Jesus came, didn't he? Because we don't measure up. He came for the lost. He came for the sick. He came for the sinner. It's the sinner that needs a saviour. It's the sick that needs a healer, isn't it? It's a lost that needs to be found. It's a blind that needs to see. It's a deaf that needs to hear. You get the picture. So let's not stumble over the stumbling stone. And let's not put that stumbling block in anyone else's way. What do you mean by that? Well, there's times where, you know, you imagine this. Let me just give you a picture. You imagine there's a young man or a young woman who once walked with the Lord, and through life's stumbling blocks, they fell away. They stumbled and they fell away. And you're ministering to them. And through that ministry, they go, do you know what? I want to get right with God. And you say, right, okay, well, stop drinking, stop smoking, stop womanizing, start paying your tithe, start going to church. You've just put a stumbling block in their way. Literally, you say, listen, get right with God, repent and believe. It's true, isn't it? See, we're so zealous for God at times that we want to clean the fish before we've caught it. God will do that work through the Holy Spirit. They're not wrong things. But you know, when I became a Christian, there were certain things that I didn't have to be told not to do. I didn't want to do them. I didn't have to be told and persuaded to give into God's economy. I wanted to. I didn't have to be persuaded to serve. I wanted to. I didn't have to be persuaded to love people. I wanted to. You see, if we are truly born again, spirit-filled Christians, we'll want to. So we don't have to put a stumbling stone in anyone's way. I hope this makes sense to at least one person. Because there are times that we put Christ in the way of someone else finding him. So, yes, challenging, yes, but encouraging, I believe. This is a good word. In Mark 4:6, it says this. Jesus said to them, a prophet, someone who proclaims the word that God has spoken, not the modern day prophet that we hear about in churches today, but where God has spoken directly to them, a revelation that he's given them to give to his people. A prophet is without honor except in his own town. Let me say that again. A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives and in his own home. In other words, familiarity comes in. He could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few people and heal them. That would be good, wouldn't it? Just to do a few miracles. He was amazed at their lack of faith. See, lack of faith can cause us to stumble. And I use this portion of scripture because I want to just talk about miracles for a few moments. Because when we hear about miracles, when we hear about healing, when we hear about the revelation of God, when we hear about the prophetic, we can stumble. And I say we can stumble because of this. I've met people over the years that when they're young and they're fit and they're healthy, they're jumping up and down, they're praising God, hallelujah, God is great. And then they get older and they get infirm and they can't walk properly and it hurts. And they go, where's God? Where's God? Well, he's not left you, is he? There are people here that walk on sticks. There are people here that are in wheelchairs. There are people here that go, God, please let this work. He's not left you, is he? But there are those that think because they don't see the miracle in their life, they miss the miracle in their life. What do you mean by that? You are the miracle. You are the miracle. You see, if you take scripture and you believe it, you deserve not to have his mercy. If you take scripture and you believe it, you deserve to go to hell and not heaven. The miracle is, you're not going there. You're going to heaven, not to hell, if you put your faith in him. That's the miracle. Everything else is a bonus, isn't it? Now, you might say, it's easy for you to say that, Pastor. You're not in a wheelchair. No, I'm not. But I have my struggles, the same as you. Let's not let lack of faith in what Christ has already accomplished cause us to stumble. And may I suggest this? Are you still breathing?
Yes.
Well, there's still time for that miracle then, isn't there? There's still time for God to do the unexpected. You know, one day, who knows, one day you'll walk in and you'll sing the song, oh God, you are my healer. Ooh, that suddenly works. Is it possible? Because all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. And if he strengthens me, he strengthens you, doesn't he? So let's not let lack of faith and the absence of witnessing miracles cause us to stumble. And then take that same word and think about someone else. Someone else who you know who is struggling with their health. Yeah, well, I think God has left me. Well, he doesn't need a compass, does he? He's not lost. He hasn't left you. There are many Christians, and I don't mean to be flippant about this, but there are many Christians I have spoken to over the years that have said to me, Pastor, I think I've lost my faith. And I look at them and I said, well, let's go looking for it then. You've not lost your faith. You're disheartened, you're demoralized. Life has kicked you in the teeth. But Christ hasn't left you. Because if Christ is in you, he's in you, isn't he? You don't need to be born again, do you? You know, he's in you. He's challenging you. He's changing you. He's persuading you. He's encouraging you. But listen, the word we don't like is free will. God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. You want to walk with him? Walk with him. If you want to deny him, deny him. But he hasn't left you. Don't let faith and the absence of witness and miracles cause you or anyone else to stumble. And I want to encourage us, because I believe that God can. I'm not going to stand here and look at anyone and proclaim something over their lives that God hasn't said to me. But his word says, pray for the sick and they'll get healed. So my job is to pray, his job is to heal. Yes? Where the problem comes, the stumbling comes, is where I think I have to heal. Where ministers believe that they're the ones with the power. But we're not. Christ is the power. Yes, he's in us. But we're the ones to pray. We're the ones to step out. He's the one to step in and he's the one to heal. In Luke 8, verse 26, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with this portion of scripture from that town. For a long time, the man had not worn clothes or lived in a house. So he was familiar to everyone around him. Everyone knew who he was. If you have I don't mean this disrespectfully, but I can't put it any other way. If you have an oddball that lives down your road, you know him. Him or her. You know them, don't you? You're familiar with them. They're the one that always walks along with half their clothes on. They're the one that do the strange things that you find peculiar. Everybody knew this man who was demon-possessed. He wasn't a stranger to them. In verse 28, when he saw Jesus, this demon-possessed man, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." It wasn't the man speaking, it was the demonic inside the man. It was the demonic inside the man. You see, we're either full of the Holy Spirit or we're not. And if we're not, then what are we full of? We're full of the world, aren't we? And that's when the enemy comes in. You know, I think it was John who said, "Lord, let there be less of me and more of you." So what does that mean? If there's less of me, there's more of him. If there's more of him, there's less of me. Yes? Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. So we are told clearly that this man was possessed by a demonic spirit. There's the Holy Spirit and the demonic spirit. We don't talk a lot about demonic stuff. but you're either for me or against me. You know, everything that is yes, everything that is in Christ, everything that isn't, is of the enemy. And when we look at the world around us and we look at the pollution and we look at the things that are going on, and we can say, God, where are you? And many Christians blame God for certain things, yet we forget that we have an enemy that prowls around looking for that in which it may devour. He wants to stumble. He wants us to stumble over the stumbling stone. But we won't. Is that true? Jesus asked him, what is your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. This was a man that was possessed time and time again. He had a multitude of demonic activity going on in his life. Just picture that. There are people in the world today that are possessed. And we have the answer to the question. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. And we know the story. There's a large herd of pigs, and they went into the pigs, and they ran, fell into the abyss, and perished. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this to the town in the countryside. Now, just imagine it was your village, your town. Just imagine you had someone who was demon possessed in your village. How would you feel if suddenly God turned up and healed that man? Would you be happy or would you be sad? I suggest you'd be happy. Praise the Lord. Listen to what happened here. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported it to the town and countryside. The people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man who was whom the demons had gone out of, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. Now, that's a long portion of scripture, I know, but there's no point in me just reading the last bit out if you don't get the context. You see, something bad was happening and something good happened, and instead of the people rejoicing, they were full of fear and they asked Jesus to leave. See, fear of the unknown will cause us to stumble. And when people see something they don't fully understand, it can cause them to stumble. And because I read the full story, you get the full context. You understand, here's a man that was full of demonic activity. Jesus, who's full of peace, grace, mercy and love, he came and he set him free. It's a picture of us. We may not have been possessed by the enemy, but we were certainly in the world, weren't we? We were in the world. So if we were in the world, we weren't in the Lord. So the enemy had access to us, and some people who are in his kingdom today were certainly possessed by multiples of these demons. And Jesus, through his grace, cleansed, clothed, inhabited. And yet the people watching were overcome with fear. See, fear can cause us to fail. When we put our trust in our abilities, it can cause us to stumble. When we put our trust in what Christ has done, what he can do and what he is to do. You see, he's coming back for a victorious church, isn't he? Then fear will turn to faith. And faith will cause us to keep walking because we have the light of the love of the Lord in us. He is a lamp unto our feet. And even though we may walk into the dark areas, he'll illuminate those dark areas. You see, we have the spirit of truth within us, don't we? So we don't need to fear what the enemy is doing. But let's not cause us to stumble either. In Jeremiah 50 verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. This don't sound a very good message, does it? But it is encouraging. It is encouraging because it's going to challenge us. And it's going to provoke us. And it's going to enable us to go, yes, Lord, you are my light. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, caused them to roam on the mountains, wandered over mountain and hill, and forgot their own resting place. Who are the shepherds? They're the leaders of God's church. God calls me a shepherd. I'm talking about me. People, not all shepherds do this, but I'm talking about leaders in churches. I'm talking about men and women who have been given authority and responsibility. I'm talking about the leader and the sheep are following. This is who is being spoken about here in Jeremiah. Their shepherds have led them astray, caused them to stumble. There are, may I suggest, times where we will switch on something, we will listen to something, we will go somewhere, and the leaders will cause us to stumble. That's why we need to be of good cheer. We need to be those of the light. We need to be men and women of the word. As Ken Stroud says, I'm a man of the word. Well, we're men and women of the word. And when we know the truth sets us free, yes? So you can be in a room where there's a false teacher or a false shepherd, but you know the truth, it won't cause you to stumble because you're mature. So the reason I slot this into this really encouraging message today is because don't believe everything you're told. Weigh it up. Look at what Scripture says. Look at what the Bible says. Put it into context. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. Allow you to become mature Christians. That's why I encourage those that want to understand more about God's word to speak to me so we can put that series of small group meetings on. 2 Peter 1 verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. This will cheer us up. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. That's you, isn't it? You, through the righteousness of God, your Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, you've received a faith that's precious. Is that you? So we're talking to you now. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's a good word, isn't it? Grace and peace be yours. Let's continue. His divine power. This is the divine power of the Lord Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us, that's you and me, given us everything we need for a good, a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So let's just put something right today. Those that are listening, those that are in the room, his divine power, that's the divine power of the Lord Jesus Christ, has given us or anyone everything they need for a godly life. So you have everything you need for a godly life if you are in Christ Jesus. So the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So today we're going to pray a prayer, and if you're on the outside of this word, you can then be on the inside of this word. That's good news, isn't it? Lord, forgive me for my sinfulness. Lord, forgive me for living my life my way, for standing on the outside. I want to be on the inside. Fill me with your Spirit. Convince me, convict me, enable me, save me. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So the rest of it is for you then. Through these, he has given us, that's me and you, his very great and precious promises. All the promises are yes, and the amen is spoken by us. So that through them, you, the promises, may participate in the divine nature, be part of, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You've escaped it. You're no longer walking towards hellfire, you're walking towards heaven's gates. That's good news, isn't it? That's something to be excited about. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. If we want to stop stumbling, these are the things we can do. If we want to be in a position where no one else can cause us to stumble, let's add some of these things to what we already have. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, that's affection for one another, and to mutual affection, love. Four, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them are nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So why is it good for us to do these things? So that we don't stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's a good message, isn't it? As our worship team come back, I'll leave you with this final scripture as they're coming up to lead us in our final hymn. We put on that robe of righteousness and that cloak that causes us to worship. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful you don't stumble and fall. Be careful. It says there is temptation out there, but praise be to God. He's given us everything we need. Everything we need. Amen. Amen. I'm going to finish in prayer. Father, we thank you that you've given us everything we need. That you go before us, you're a lamp unto our feet. That, Father God, you don't cause us to stumble. You give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, help us to be those that will not put stumbling stones in the way of anyone else. But Lord, be those that will bring others to faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.